Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're on every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. And I was just showing the video, our audience subscribers, I was showing on my mobile, on my iPhone, our beautiful iOS stream there. This is our live video cast on our on the iPhone. And you can also see it on your iPad, right?
Now, people are asking, and I have to go, and I really do have to go to the toilet, and I'm sorry, but so I'm going to the toilet, all right?
Okay.
What are you looking shocked for?
Yeah, do I announce you're going to the toilet?
What?
You don't have to. What did you want to say, Margaret?
We're getting people saying, well, I don't get it on my Android, just saying. And I always message them back saying, you know, for the just because you said just saying, I'm not going to tell Phil what your message was. And then they message me back saying, you know, you, and they'll begin the profanity. And I'll say, nothing you say hurts me. And if you say just saying one more time, I'll block you.
All right, so, Margaret, the point is they're not getting on their droid?
That's what one person said. Now, I said to him, are you sure you're not just so retarded you don't know how it works? And
all right, let's not use that word. My understanding is, folks, that we and I've seen the stream. Now, it could be different, but we go out to a multiple, a lot of different devices. You can pick this stream up on a great many different devices. So I suspect if it's like one guy not getting it on his Android, there may be a problem there.
Well, I said to him, I said, maybe you don't know how to use your droid phone, just saying. And that got him angry, and he said, well, Ms. Gray, you're a, you know, and he used the usual words, which don't hurt me at all. And he said, just saying. And I said, you know something? You're about 30 or 40 years younger than my husband, but I'll bet you, just saying, my husband brings the lumber, you cocktail frank side.
All right, okay, what, you know.
Little thumb, I called him thumb.
Margaret.
Thumb penis.
Golly, guy, thumb penis.
All right, good for you, Margaret. In any event, so here is the, if you're looking at Phil TV in HD, there is what you would be seeing on your mobile if you were smart enough to use your mobile. I'm joking. We'll look into the droid thing. God. In talking to Alex and actually looking at the software, I can see all of the different streams that we are available on. So, I'll check. I'm not saying anything. Margaret, you going to the bathroom?
Yes, I am. And is there toilet paper?
Yeah.
Can we take care of this stuff off the air? All right. Welcome to our final hour here on this Wednesday, well, Thursday morning. And that means tomorrow's a Friday. And that means the next day is, yeah, Saturday, baby. And on Saturday night, I think we have a function to attend. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Robert, can you tell me?
No, that was last week.
Oh, I already went to it. Okay, good. So we have a whole weekend to ourselves. And one of the things about doing a late-night show is, especially, you know, one that ends at 1 a.m., I am not into, you know, Betty Byland until about 4 or 5, not up till 2. So it's really, you know, and when Saturday rolls around, remember when we were doing the Saturday night show locally?
Yeah, you're a dead man. You're a dead man walking.
I was. Yeah, I would wake up and I'd say, it's Saturday. Oh, wait a minute. I got to do. And we were on at 7 o'clock Western, you know, Western time. We were on at 7 o'clock.
Country Western time.
You're back?
No, I just, where's the toilet paper?
Will you go with Margaret, please?
All right.
Country Western time.
Yes, we were on at 7 o'clock Country Western time. And so it was a pretty brutal thing. All right. Joe Garagiola, man, this cat is... He was broadcasting when I was a kid, and then I heard him on the NBC Game of the Week. Then he did the World Series on NBC, and he was on there with Tony Kubek.
What?
Tony Kubek.
Where's he from?
Where's he from?
Yeah.
America.
And he had the name Kubek?
Yeah. He played for the Yankees.
Oh.
What's wrong with the name Kubek?
It's not. I thought it was supposed to be Cuba. You know, I thought it was supposed to be Hispanic or something, you know.
Did you help her?
Yeah.
All right, no. Tony Kubek was a shortstop for the New York Yankees, went on to the broadcast booth. Then there was Joe Garagiola, who played... Garagiola, you know, anecdotally, I have to tell you, Garagiola is not one of my favorite human beings, because my understanding, And I might be wrong about this, but I've read some history. And I've read a little bit of history. The St. Louis Cardinals were the worst scumbags on earth when it came to the breaking of the color line, Jackie Robinson in particular. Now, the St. Louis Cardinals in the 40s were a ball club followed by a great many people in the South. And the Cards were not, this was a team full of a bunch of hillbillies and hayseeds and dumbasses and white trash and Joe Garagiola. And in any event, when it came time for the Dodgers to play St. Louis, there was a team vote that essentially, I believe, was we're not going to take the field with the Brooklyn Dodgers as long as they've got that, you know, black guy playing for them. This was the vote. And I got to tell you, in the history of baseball, there aren't too many moments where you, off the field, where you could say, wow, I wish I had been there. But the commissioner of baseball at the time, and I want to say it was Ford Frick, I could be wrong, it might have been another guy. The commissioner of baseball, and this was going on, and the St. Louis Cardinals, and they didn't want this, and they weren't going to take the field, a black guy, we ain't playing this, that. And the commissioner of baseball essentially got the Cardinals together in some kind of a forum, and he said, tell you what you can do, gentlemen. You're either going to get out and play, or you're going to quit as Major League Baseball players. How do you feel about that? You see, because I'm pulling rank and I don't know by what authority there may be at that time, as there is today, a contract. There's a general services contract that players sign with Major League Baseball. It says you will be available for press interviews. You will. There's no ifs, ands or buts. This is what you're going to do. Now, you're making a lot of money and there's a lot of attention and you've got all kinds of wonderful things. But as a Major League Baseball player, you're going to do this. You're going to stand at attention during the national anthem. You're going to have your hat off. You're going to look like a normal human being. They're just not too many things they ask athletes to do. But there are certain things that are required in these contracts. And there might have been one in place at the time. But basically, the commissioner said to the Cardinals, you got two choices. You're going to get out and play the game or get your ass out of Major League Baseball for good. Now, what's it going to be, St. Louis Cardinals? Well, they quickly, looked at the options and they decided.
They quit?
No, they didn't quit. They played. What, bud?
Get Margaret on the phone here. I don't know if you want to.
What do you mean, Margaret on the phone? Margaret?
Yes, where is the toilet paper again? I'm sorry, Phil.
Will you go in and get the toilet paper? Wait, go!
I'm sorry, Phil, but hold on. It's me. Well, I'm not opening the door, bud.
Bud?
I'm not opening the door. Get me. I want the good, thick toilet paper, all right?
I don't think.
What?
Why am I listening to this on the air?
I'll turn it down. Yeah.
Hold on. What did you say, Phil?
I didn't say anything. I've got your pot up, and
You got my what up?
I've got the fader up.
What's that?
Never mind.
Hey, Mr. Gray, I got the 2-ply, I got 3-ply.
Are there any more of those Bounty towels? I'm going to need that. I'm going to need a good, thick paper towel from the kitchen.
All right, let me go look.
Oh, my God.
Well, what's your problem, okay?
What about just a towel?
Yeah, that'll do. Just get me some towels. Get me a beach towel. You dirty...
All right, so that's fantastic. What is going on, bud?
I don't know. Since you want to have
Slow down.
She wanted to have a toilet paper, and no, that wasn't good enough. Then I just gave her a beach towel.
All right, be it down on a baseball field or up in the broadcast booth, whether he was a pinch hitter for Johnny Carson or he was looking at pooches, Joe Garagiola could always tell a story. So when the 87-year-old Garagiola was prodded Wednesday to reminisce about an on-air career that lasted nearly six decades, he obliged. Naturally, he did. Garagiola, the ball player turned announcer, six decades. He's 87, so that means he quit baseball when he was, what, 27?
Well, let me see.
You're back?
Yes. All I needed was a beach towel.
Yeah, it'd be like 27 or something. Anyway, Garagiola, the ballplayer turned announcer who was honored by the Hall of Fame, says he's ending his days as a broadcaster. He's retiring as a part-time television analyst for the Arizona Diamondbacks and said goodbye at a 30-minute news conference at the team's spring training facility. I didn't even know this cat was still...
Yeah, apparently, I guess he left NBC.
Gary Giola said he wanted to spend more time with his wife, Audrey. His wife is 63 years. Wow, 63. That means 24. They were married at 24.
No, they were married. They were married. He was married at 63.
Yes, the marriage has lasted 24 years.
No, they weren't married at 63. It says that he wants to spend more time with Audrey, his wife.
His wife is 63.
His wife of 63 years.
Yeah.
His wife, who is of 63 years.
So how long have they been married?
I don't know. She's 63, he's 87.
So
he married her when he was 24.
If he married her when he was 24, she would have been zero.
Well, that's a very harsh judgment. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So if he married her at 24, she would have just been born.
Well, it's not... Well,
63 years he's been married to the woman. I don't know how old she is, but they've been married for 63 years. His wife of 63 years old. Oh, man.
You know, Phil, you've been doing nothing but laughing at me tonight. I ask for toilet paper. It's funny. I ask for a paper towel. It's funny.
Margaret.
No. I say, you know what? I guess it's going to take a beach towel, and you are laughing?
You notice I didn't even ask you what you meant by that. You notice that, right?
What?
I didn't even ask why you needed a beach towel. All right, we're going to be right back. We'll take a break. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, online, philhenryshow.com, and I'm running out of air.
Truth.
I'm running out of oxygen.
He's our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Well, here is Broadcasting Baseball, a history of the national pastime on radio, but from this particular site in a book written by Eldon L. Hamm later in the season, and I'm quoting, later in the season, Gary Giola grounded a short and spiked Robinson's foot at first base. Robinson was not injured, but he felt Joe had done it on purpose. Now, that's one quote. The next day in newspapers all over the country, there was a story about how Joe Garagiola had viciously spiked Jackie Robinson. The facts were confused. Robinson's correspondence reflected the changes in racial attitudes. Joe Medwick spiked Robinson on the left foot. In the second inning, Cardinal catcher Joe Garagiola caught Robinson on the head. So there's these stories, and you'll notice there's a lot of them are St. Louis Cardinal stories. Gary Giola, famous TV personality, professed not to remember the 1947 spiking and minimized the overall racial conflict 32 years later. These are books, I'm just quoting roughly here, folks, books about the St. Louis Cardinals, books about that era in baseball. One of these is a book about Stan Musial, but this is a story that has not been completely denied, and it's one that, you know, if Gary Giola is saying, I don't remember it, Robinson certainly did. Jackie Robinson did. A Sporting News photograph captured Robinson appearing to clap his hands while Reardon focused his attention on Gary Giola. For the remainder of the evening, the Dodger bench hounded Gary Giola. In later years, Gary Giola professed not to remember the 1947 spiking and minimizing the overall racial conflict. In contrast, Robinson later had good things to say about manager Eddie Dyer, whom he thought was a kind man. He recalled that in his first game in Sportsman's Park, he walked from the visitors' clubhouse through the Cardinals' dugout to reach the playing field so he could shake his hand. So he thought that the Cardinal manager was a nice guy. But anyway, that...
Well, why were you talking about that?
Talking about Joe Garagiola, okay? The guy retired. And I realize that... You know, this is a cat that I grew up with. Most people listening to me don't know who the hell this guy is, unless you live in Arizona. But he was a very, very prominent fixture on television throughout the 70s and 80s. And I don't remember him playing, but I do remember him on TV. And he was Mr. Affable. You know, he was always, hey, baby, Joe Garagiola here, you know?
Yeah, I'm talking about the Cuban, right?
What Cuban, man? Are you talking about Kubek?
Yeah.
Tony Kubek.
All right.
But, yeah, that was Tony Kubek, not Cuban.
No, Tony Kubek was born in America.
Yes, he was born in America. What is the thing? Just because his name's Kubek, man, how could you get confused?
I don't know. You said Tony the Cuban.
I didn't say Tony the Cuban. Tony Kubek.
Well, that's a very weird name. It disturbs me, too, Robert. I'm with you on that.
Thank you.
What's weird about it?
Well, it's like that. It just, I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't, none of these people I like. All of them are douchebags. Joe Garagiola and...
Joe Garagiola.
What is the name?
I knew you'd butcher it. Joe Garagiola.
I want to try Joe...
Ola.
Joan Garagiola.
Joe Garagiola. Hold on, I'm going to belch.
Do you have to?
I'm sorry, Phil, but it is the sign of good health.
I know when you have gas. Joe Garagiola. No, that's not Joe Garagiola.
Joe Garagiola.
Ola.
Joe Garagiola,
you retard.
Watch it. Who cares? You know, screw him. Closer to home, a high school basketball player at a private school in Greensboro, North Carolina, has died after collapsing during a game. Junior Josh Lavelle of New Garden collapsed with about 3 minutes left during Tuesday night's game at Quality Education Academy. This is in North Carolina. This poor kid, he was taken to the Brenner Children's Hospital, where this poor young man died. One of the officials there, I believe it was... Lori Ferris, who's actually director of advancement at the school, said the cause of death is unknown. Funeral arrangements were incomplete. Lewis was a 6'5 guard. He'd drawn recruiting interest from Division I schools. Ferris described this young man as fun-loving, grounded, called him a pretty special kid. Counselors were at the school Wednesday to talk with students. That's kind of rough, you know, when young people are there and they see one of their classmates or they hear of one of their classmates dying, especially... you know, we're so used to the violence in schools, you know, and that is that's bad. There's no question. I can't think of anything more devastating, to be honest with you. But when a healthy kid is out playing basketball and dies, you suddenly, I can well imagine. And you know, if you think this is a new thing, it isn't. I hate to say it, but when I was in high school, I'll never forget, we had a school assembly called, and one of my classmates had committed suicide in one of the restrooms, had hung himself in one of the restrooms or one of the lavatories at school. So it's a, you know, the adolescence and, you know, a coming of age, it's a tough thing anyway. It doesn't matter what the era, it doesn't matter what the year, it doesn't matter what the time. I mean, it's just, it's brutal, man. You know, and so, you know, what we talk about is trying to make it easier for kids. So if a kid's gay, if a kid's maybe not particularly handsome, you know, there's certain things we can do. I mean, I'm not going to say that kids are not going to be cruel to each other. I'm not going to say that a kid is not going to, you know, kids are not going to yell at each other and call each other names. Kids are not going to be kids. But there are some things we can protect a kid from. He doesn't have to take it if he's coming of age and he realizes he's gay. He doesn't have to take that grief. You know, we can protect him. He doesn't have to take undue grief because he may not be the best looking kid. He doesn't have to take weird, you know, all kinds of comments because he's maybe a bookworm. Certain things, you know, that people are born into that they can't do anything about and wouldn't want to do anything about probably. And we don't have to have kids be victims of that. See? So the rest of it, behavior, whatever, kids are getting into fights, I understand. But bullying a kid for those things, you can protect a kid there. Don't tell me that you can't. You know, as adults, we can protect kids from certain things, but not everything. No, not everything.
Well.
What?
You said you had big ears.
Yes, I had big ears.
Who protected you?
Nobody had to protect me because I didn't get the big ear thing all that much. Okay, I got the big ear thing when I was in grade school. By the time I was in high school, my head.
What?
My head grew into the ears.
Well, what does that mean?
What is that? You've got a son.
Yeah, well, I don't have a son with the big fan ears. You said you had the big Dumbo.
No. I never said I had Dumbo ears, okay?
Well, you said you had fan ears.
No, I never said fan ears. I never said fan ears. I had big ears. You can go, as a matter of fact, if you go to Well, you can't really. I don't think you can. Yeah, you can. You can go to my Facebook friends page. I have a family, Hendry family album there. In fact, I'll put a picture of myself on our website tonight as a little kid. When I was like 10 or 11, I had big ears. And I grew, my ears got smaller, I think.
Well, yes, they've gotten smaller, but your head's gotten bigger, and not because it's physically bigger, but because of your career. And I think your ego saved you from having the big, the fan, the Dumbo, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the Sally Randy ear, did you call it?
Sally Randy ear. No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I did not.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And interesting story here. If you look at on Phil Hendry, if you look on Phil TV and HD, look at that. There is a clubhouse in Arizona, and it's snowing, and it's winter times, and it does snow in Arizona. But it's interesting that it's snowing in the middle of a golf tournament. And I was just looking at that's the sign there. You see Front Nine Oasis. These are the different courses they have, exit, and that's the sign there at the first tee, tee number one. And then look at that clubhouse.
What is that?
It's the clubhouse. That's where...
What do you mean clubhouse?
Well, it's the clubhouse is where you, as a golfer, you would go to have something to eat. It's a place where the locker rooms are. It's a place where you, go and buy, you can purchase things there. And it's also the place, if you're a member of the club, where you go and relax and have a drink. And I was just saying to Dan, I said, you know, if I ever retire, I want to have a place like that, man.
Well, that looks bizarre, though. That's...
No, it doesn't. It looks cool to me. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's cool. There's snow on it.
Bud...
Sorry.
Dove Mountain looked more like a winter wonderland than a golfing venue after driving snow forced play to be abandoned in the opening round of the WGC Adventure Match Play Championship on Wednesday. Just over 3.5 hours of golf was possible on a bitterly cold and breezy morning before rain, sleet, and then snow led to matches being suspended at the Elite World Golf Championship event.
Now, what is match play?
Match play is it's a format. Don't ask me. I could describe it, but I believe it's two, you know, one player against another player in a foursome. And there's a lot of rules involved. It's different from scramble golf. There are different and what it is match play is per hole. So you're not taking the entire 18 holes into consideration and saying, okay, over 18 holes, this guy was so-and-so over par, under par. You're taking it per hole, if I'm mistaken. But you know what? When in doubt, look it up and check up, as Bud calls it, Winklepedia. Now then.
Yeah, go Winklepedia.
It's not Winklepedia, you moron.
All right. Just, if I were you, you can go to Winklepedia if you want, but I would check two or three more sources, because Wikipedia, Bud, is not the end-all be-all, okay?
Everybody uses Wikipedia.
I don't care if everybody uses Wikipedia. Have you looked at Wikipedia? Do you ever look and see if these things are sourced? Because anybody can write anything there. You understand that, don't you?
I know it.
Yes. There's more bad information on Wikipedia, just as there's good information, so you got to check. Just over 3.5 hours of golf was possible, and then it was called on account of that there's snow. Ice formed on the green, and with further snow showers forecast for the rest of the day in Arizona's high desert, officials called off play for the day after waiting a couple of hours to reevaluate conditions. I don't know what the rule is in golf on weather. I guess it's like baseball.
Yeah, I think it depends on playing conditions.
Yes, on how well they can... You know, whatever you call that when they roll it.
Putt?
Well, whatever it is. Can the ball roll? Does it roll good?
Yeah, it's got to roll good.
Yeah, roll good? You mean putt. That's what it's called, putting.
I don't know what it's called.
I just got done telling you. It's called putting.
Well, you'll pardon me if I take that under advisement.
You go right ahead, Margaret.
Don't treat me like I'm stupid.
Call up Frank. Call up anybody you want. It's called putting. Are you actually calling Frank?
Yes, if you don't mind. Frank, hi, honey, I'm sorry.
All right, you know, we got into this problem last night, Margaret. I can hear you while I'm trying to talk on the air. Do you understand?
Hold on, Frank. What?
Do you want to put him on the air? I guess that's what we have to do. You're forcing me.
What are you yelling at?
Get him. Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Hey, who's this?
It's Phil Hendry.
Hey, young man, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm better than Custer.
All right, Margaret has called you. Do you mind? It's my show.
Go ahead.
She wants to know what it's called when they roll the ball on the green.
He wants to know what?
She wants to know what it's called in golf when the ball... I told her it was putting.
Well, what was he talking about?
Frank, honey, I was saying when they roll the ball on the green part, do they not roll the ball on the green part when it rains?
When they roll the ball on the green part, that could be sex. It doesn't have to. I don't know what she's talking. What is she talking about?
Phil is asking you about the golf.
All right, let me talk to her. Is she there?
I'm right here, Frank.
Oh, I'm sorry. What are you talking about as opposed to what he just said?
I'm talking about golf.
When they roll the ball on the green thing, would have to be, unless I'm missing a brain cell or two, that's got to be putting. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
All right, Frank, I'll take your word for it. That's what Mr. Hendry said, but I wasn't sure.
All right, well, if that's what she said, she agrees with me that it's called putting when they roll the ball on the green thing. You did say green.
Yes, on the green. Well, why?
Well, if it's brown and they're rolling a ball on it, then that could mean that it's unplayable. It could mean it's in the out of bounds, or it's on a dirty, it got dirty in the dirty area, see?
Okay, see, Phil, so?
What do you mean, see, Phil? We're talking about putting, are we not?
See, I don't know what she's talking about.
Phil is talking about putting on the green thing.
It's putting on the green thing, then that's putting. Yes, so she's right.
All right, dear, thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Frank Gray, good night, everybody.
You know, you really got to get him in for another checkup.
He had a CAT scan last year. He's doing fine. It's just limited to the gender confusion.
Well, what was that whole Frank Gray, everybody? Goodbye.
Well, he's beginning to drift into sort of a talk show host. I don't know.
I think the guy's got problems.
Phil, he's my husband. I love him, and I'm not putting him in a mental institution, so...
Nobody said put him in a mental institution, but a guy's all pretending he's a talk show host.
So, Phil does.
All right, so anyway, there it is, folks. There's snow, and they called it on account of the snow, and somebody built a snowman. It's a very beautiful thing. Thank you very much. And I want to thank Frank Gray for joining us. Thank you, Frank. I know that we probably roused you from, or rousted you from your sleeping there, or whatever the hell it was you were doing. Yeah, now here's a thing from Fox News. This is really interesting. Fox News co-host Bob Beckel apologized today, or I should say Wednesday, for controversial remarks he made on Tuesday regarding the prevalence of rape on college campuses. On Tuesday's edition of Fox News, The Five, the liberal co-host asked, when was the last time you heard about a rape on campus? What are you talking about? Co-host Eric Bolling responded, it's rampant. Added co-host Dana Perino, in particular, date rape on campus. Yahoo reports that in 2010, the Department of Justice estimated that 25% of college women will be victims of rape or attempted rape before they graduate within a four-year period. The study also estimated that women between the ages of 16 and 24 will experience rape at a rate that's four times higher than the assault rate on all women. In schools with more than 6,000 students, average one rape per day during the school year. Now, Beckel apologized on Wednesday. Basically, he had to apologize for being an idiot. And not a problem. Not a problem, Bob. But you're an idiot. And this happens with non-professionals. And I say non-professional. Bob Beckel is a media consultant. I believe he's was a campaign manager and a media consultant of some kind. But he's relatively new to broadcasting. I'm not saying that the guy is a neophyte, but I am saying that in relation to other men his age, he has relative little experience in broadcasting, and this is what happens. Now, I would imagine that Fox is overjoyed that it was the Democrat, the liberal host, that said it. And, of course, That's exactly what TV Guide was at pains to say in this article. It was the, quote, liberal co-host of The Five, Bob Beckel, who asked this question. Beckel apologized on the Wednesday edition of The Five for the comments he made the day prior. It's a horrible, horrendous issue, and it's simply put, rape is rape, whether it's date rape or it's somebody coming in off the campus trying to rape somebody else. I very strongly feel that way, he said, and so I just want to straighten the record out on that. I simply was trying to make, there was not a distinction to make here. It simply was the date rape is rape, and that is, by any other definition, rape is rape.
What an idiot.
That, you know what, Bob? You should have kept your mouth shut. You should just say, you know, I think I made a mistake. Something like that. Beckel's initial remarks and subsequent apology all stem from a discussion on the proposal to ban concealed weapons on Colorado campuses. Democratic Colorado Representative Joe Salazar was slammed by many after he argued on the state House floor in support of the ban, saying that otherwise individuals might fire their weapons prematurely or without the proper information. It's why we have call boxes. It's why we have safe zones. That's why we have the whistles, because you just don't know who you're going to be shooting at. And you don't know if you feel like you're going to be raped, or if you feel like someone's been following you around, or if you feel like you're in trouble when you may actually not be, that you pop out that gun and you pop around at somebody. Boy, some of these guys sound really dumb when they're talking about some of these issues. Like, you know, and you don't even, and you're not even sure, and you, look, dude, you when you're coming, when this is a topic of discussion, the Second Amendment, basically that's what you're talking about. There's a reason why people have a right to carry weapons, and the reason why people have a right to carry weapons is because when you try to talk about why they don't have that right or where they shouldn't have that right, you wind up sounding like a jackass. As far as I'm concerned, that's what this guy sounds like. Well, you know, pop the gun out.
What makes you think that that man sounded like a jackass? He's saying you could make a mistake.
Yes, you could make a mistake. Yes, you could. You could. And then again, you might not. Has anybody thought about that one? Has anybody thought about the fact that, yeah, you could make a mistake, all right, and then maybe you could kill the guy and he deserves it? Has anyone even wanted to come close to talking about that? I could make a mistake and shoot someone and the person's dead, and that is just absolutely terrible. Better that I should die, get my brains blown out of my head, and die, then a mistake be made, and me shooting somebody else. Let's make sure, first of all, that the guy that gets shot was supposed to be shot. That's me, although, of course, I wasn't supposed to be shot because I was being shot by a guy with orange hair dressed up as the Joker. However, at least the Joker guy, who is insane, shot me, and that's good enough, and about 60 other people, or however many he killed, you know, shot and killed that day. And that's fine. That's great. We'll take that, and we'll just thank you, Mr. Joker. At least we can keep track of you. But by God, anybody else shooting?
Well, I don't think it's quite that simple. I think it's this. Not the Joker, but that man.
Yeah, whatever that guy's name was.
The man shot, and you know something?
Are you giving up, Margaret?
No, I'm not giving up, but it's just, I know you're going to make fun. He shot the people that he shot.
Yeah.
All right. Now you pull your gun out. Are you shooting who you should shoot? Am I shooting who I should shoot? Yes, I think I am. Oh.
But the Joker shot who he was supposed to shoot, which was a whole bunch of people who died or got injured, right?
Well, he wasn't supposed to shoot them, no. But. Never mind.
Yeah, there she goes.
Yay!
I'm going home.
No, you're not going home because the show isn't over yet. You got a few more minutes. Break time? I believe it is break time. We'll take a break and we'll be back with more of this, or maybe not more of this asinine discussion. The Joker shot who he was supposed to shoot, but I am not supposed to shoot because I may shoot somebody I'm not supposed to shoot. What are we talking about? We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth.
Talk about the Joker, okay?
The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, Phil, I'm calling from the bathroom. Okay, here's what I wanted to say. The Joker shot...
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Mike Tyson sued a financial services firm owned by Live Nation Entertainment on Wednesday, claiming one of its advisors embezzled more than $300,000 from the former heavyweight champ and cost him millions more in lost earnings. The lawsuit claims that Live Nation and its company SFX Financial Advisory Management Enterprises haven't given the boxer and his wife, Lakia, a full accounting of their losses. The company returned some of the embezzled money, but wanted the Tysons to sign a non-disclosure agreement, which they refused. No kidding. What do you mean a non-disclosure? You've committed a crime. What do you mean a non... What the hell is with people? Man, I got to tell you. Again, I go back to the same thing that I've been talking about for God knows how many, you know... Forget it, man. I mean, we're living in a time where it isn't so much we've got great work being done, quality work being done. You know, people that bankers and real estate people and broadcasters and people who really care about the kind, the quality of the work they're done. Everybody's making excuses for why they stink. I mean, it starts with my industry, but you look at this. Here's a guy, a group of people that are financial advisors who embezzle money. Now, that's a criminal offense. And rather standing up and taking it and whatever bad publicity comes with it, he's supposed to sign a non-disclosure agreement. I hope the names of these individuals are broadcast far and wide. I don't give a damn if it's Mike Tyson and some people don't like him and say, yeah, well, that's got nothing to do with it. This is this guy's money. The lawsuit seeks more than $5 million in damages for breach of fiduciary duty, negligent hiring, unjust enrichment, and other claims. A spokeswoman for Live Nation Entertainment said the company had not been served with the lawsuit, would not comment. The lawsuit claims the embezzlement prevented the Tysons from emerging from bankruptcy and forced them to hire new advisors and turn down lucrative contracts. The couple trusted one of their advisors, Brian Oron, their advisor at SFX, so much that he attended their wedding, the case states. Don't you love that? And that's happened to me. I've had people in my home. I've had people who were members of, I made them members of my family, you know, that, you know, turn around and when push comes to shove, they're not there for you. Professional people. Do yourself a big favor, sports fans, and I mean this sincerely. Don't make anybody that you hire, anyone that you're in business with, anybody that takes money from you to do something for you. It could be a lawyer, it could be, don't make them members of the family until you're for several years, until you're absolutely satisfied that they're honest and that they're working for you. Don't, because it isn't going to buy you any loyalty, having them there to your house for food, having them over for a drink, having them over, you know, when you have a baby for the baby's christening or a wedding. It doesn't buy any loyalty. It makes them feel like they're in tight and, you know, they can do anything they want. So this guy, Oran, who could not be reached for comment, has since left SFX. According to the lawsuit, the filings claim his conduct has not been reported to regulators. Defendants did not secure, protect, safeguard, and appropriately apply the Tysons' finances for their intended purposes, but instead misappropriated said funds for the benefit and enrichment of SFX and Live Nation. The former boxer has broadened his career in recent years. He appeared in The Hangover and is leading a one-man autobiographical show, Undisputed Truth. Awesome. Mike Tyson. Well, you know, let that be a lesson, man. That's so where were we?
Well, you were going on and on about, I don't know.
Beach towel.
Yes, the beach towel, and I'm taking that home to launder it.
I don't want to know about you using them. All right. So anyway, folks, that's been, you know, that's as much damage as can be done tonight. We really appreciate you being with us. Join us online at philhenryshow.com. And really, join us for our pre-shows and join us during our commercial breaks and join us. Increasingly, we're going to be doing more and more ranting on our website, more and more, shall we say, one-on-ones with Phil. These will be rants. They will be in the form of different rants at different times during the day as we approach the summer months. So join us for that. And as well, we have our podcast. We've got another episode 129 coming out. And the Bobby Dooley. And we've got a two-parter with Joel McHale, the great host of The Soup, as well as one of the stars of Community. So Joel is going to be doing 2 hours in the new Bobby Dooley podcast. And let me tell you something. This Bobby Dooley podcast is blowing up pretty good. I think it was like top 10 in the on the comedy charts there at iTunes. And as I said, please don't tell Bobby it's on a comedy chart.
Well, and what does she think? It's going to be on the drama? What does she think it is?
I think she thinks it's on the self-help.
What a bimbo.
You're not going to tell her, Miss Gray.
I won't tell her.
Because if you tell her, there's going to be hell to pay. She's going to flip her lid as sure as God made green little apples.
What does that mean, God made green apples?
I don't know. It was something my dad said. All right. So check that out and make sure you visit our store, our online store at philhenryshow.com, where you can pick up shot glasses. You can pick up baseball caps. You can pick up our T-shirt. You can pick up the Teds of Beverly Hills sweatshirt, which I'm wearing right here. This is the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie. And this is probably one of the hottest selling items we got in our store. There's the hoodie. You can also get any one of our legacy CDs. We've got downloads, the best of Bobby Dooley download, as well as the best of Ted Bell download. And those are available there for you as well. What else we got, bud?
Go and get the keychain.
Bobby Dooley keychains. And I know there's a couple of other things. Oh, our coffee mug. It's fantastic. PhilHenryShow.com, the shop. Do it. Do it today. All right. Show is produced by Phil Henry, me, and Dan Northcraft, him. And, of course, as I said, we are available online for all of your rock and roll needs, sports fans. We will see you guys tonight at 10 o'clock Pacific. See you at 10 o'clock Pacific. And, of course, we'll be online at 9:15 for our pre-show. Until tonight, 10 Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.